And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
It turns the brains into guacamole.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is effective change. Each of my guests is examining how we affect change in others. My next guest is a political pundit and strategist for the Democratic Party. We'll discuss the latest employment figures and what effects they may have on the 2012 presidential election. If you want to join in the conversation or if you have an opinion, give us a call at 639-0008. Brad Banyan is president of Banyan Communications Research, a Washington, D.C.-based political polling and consulting firm that helps Democratic candidates, labor unions, and progressive issues groups win political and public affairs campaigns. Campaigns and Elections magazine named Brad a mover and shaker in the political consulting industry. He's also one of the Democratic insiders in the biweekly National Journal Pundit Poll. Brad started Banyan Communications back in 1984, and his first client was then Booth Gardner, who won an upset primary and general election that year and went on to serve two terms as the governor of the state of Washington. Before founding the firm, Brad worked on the campaigns of a number of successful congressional candidates, including Senator Edward Kennedy of Massachusetts and David Pryor of Arkansas. Brad has his BA in his master's in political science from the University of Minnesota and his BA from Syracuse University. He grew up in Rhode Island, but surprise, surprise, now lives in Washington, D.C. Welcome to the show, Brad. How are you today?
I'm fine, Billy. Thanks for having me on again.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you back. I always like to come and battle different ideas with you. So let's dive into this one. Back in 1992, President Bill Clinton defeated the incumbent George H.W. Bush and Ross Perot on the simple but very effective slogan, "It's the economy, stupid." And back in 2012 now, the election is coming up, and a challenger might make the same claim in the face of Barack Obama. It's the economy, Barack. Unemployment figures came out last week. 54,000 new jobs were added, but that was against a consensus view that it would be somewhere between 150,000 and 175,000 jobs added. In fact, that was the lowest increase since September of 2010. The unemployment rate rose to 9.1%. Revised figures for March and April showed some 39,000 fewer jobs than originally had been anticipated. The economy has regained only a fraction of the 8 million jobs lost during the recession, and payroll growth needs to be about 300,000 per month in order to make some significant progress against the 13.9 million unemployed. Even at that rate, it'll take...
And the reality is, in theory, that should present the Republicans with an opportunity to beat President Obama in 2012. If things don't get better, much better, in the next 17 months. The problem is, for the Republicans, there's an old axiom in this business, and it's you can't beat someone with no one. And Republicans are having a real hard time trying to find anybody who can run against Barack Obama. In the last few weeks, There have been four Republican presidential candidates, potential Republican presidential candidates, who announced they weren't going to run against Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in theory, the Republicans have an opportunity here, but despite the fact they have this opportunity, Republicans don't seem to want to take advantage of it. And again, you can't beat someone with no one.
Well, and that would be true. However, I would think that you'd look back at the 2008 campaign, and you'll agree with me, it was the national consensus there that it was time for a change, and Barack Obama was voted in as president of the United States on the heels or on the wings of "we need a change." Now, is it not possible for the Republicans to do the same thing, regardless of who they put up? And they will eventually find a candidate. But regardless of who they put up, by saying, "Hey, we need a change. Things are not working the way that we had been promised that they were going to work. And now we need to make a change." What would you say to that?
Well, change. Americans do want change. The reality is, if you look back at 92, you had a Democratic presidential candidate who didn't have a lot of baggage going into the presidential election.
Well,
it was Bill Clinton. He was hardly anybody knew who he was. He was the governor of a small southern state, and he was the perfect candidate to run against George W. Bush because he didn't have a lot of baggage.
Well, now, in retrospect, though, Brad, he did bring baggage. He had the Blackwater incident that was looming over him. He had his indiscretions, his marital indiscretions, that did come out during the campaign. So both of those facts were at that time, in 1992, known facts. So he brought some baggage to the party. There's no question about that. However, I think people were looking at a young, energetic, vital man versus a person who proved himself to be out of touch when he walked into a supermarket and asked him about that newfangled grocery scanner that they had at the cash register. So there was a little bit of, hey, it's time for a change. This man is not really in touch with what's going on with the people. However, I would argue that there was some baggage that Bill Clinton brought to the party.
Well, one advantage that Clinton has had that the present Republican presidential candidates don't have is that he won the nomination as a moderate by beating down the liberal elements of the party.
Right.
Now, this time, I think it's very unlikely that a moderate Republican can beat one of the right-wing Tea Party candidates. For instance, you have Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney was a fairly liberal governor when he was governor of Massachusetts. In fact, he championed the health care reform law in Massachusetts that turned out to be the prototype for President Obama's health care plan.
That's right.
And the problem is there's no way Mitt Romney's going to win the Republican nomination, and I think he would be their best candidate.
Mm.
The Tea Party doesn't trust Romney because of his record as governor of Massachusetts on health care. The social conservatives don't trust Romney either because when he was governor of Massachusetts, he was pro-choice. He also said once that he was going to be more pro-gay rights than Ted Kennedy was, which is not easy to do. But the reality is, if you look at what happened within the Republican Party in 2010, every time there was a primary battle between a Republican establishment candidate like Romney and a Tea Party candidate, the Tea Party candidate won. So I think it's more likely that the Republicans are going to nominate an ideological extremist, and Barack Obama will try to fill the middle as the Republican candidate moves right to win the nomination and Tea Party support. And I think it's going to make it very difficult for them to beat the president.
Well, now that is sound strategic advice from Brad Bannon, who is a political pundit himself. But let's talk about President Barack Obama's record, if we can, for just a minute. And I'm going to, again, focus on the economy only. At the beginning of the Obama administration, his economic policy was to follow the lead of George W. Bush. I mean, he instituted the TARP program. He instituted the first quantitative easing, which we'll now call quantitative easing 1, for $800 billion. Again, on the economy, since then, President Barack Obama's economic policy has been to extend the Bush tax cuts and come up with quantitative easing 2, which is another $700 billion of taxpayer money. Now, he said that the reason we have QE2 is to boost employment and to make home ownership more affordable. Well, we've seen by the figures that just came out last week that employment, while it grew, isn't growing fast enough to replace the jobs that were lost during the recession. And home ownership, we're looking at a possible double dip recession when it comes to residential home ownership. So he was also going to put money into shovel-ready projects. Many of those are still awaiting the funding. So how effective has Barack Obama's policy been, at least as it pertains to the economy? And he came in as a very, very liberal ideologue over to the left, and now making a move back towards the center, he really has nothing to stand on if he's going for a centrist position, does he?
Well, I would disagree with that.
Okay.
First of all, the president made a trip to the Midwest late last week. He visited a couple auto factories.
He did.
I think one of the most impressive things that President Obama did was by investing federal money in the auto industry. He saved hundreds of thousands of jobs in the Midwest in key battleground states like Ohio and Michigan.
All right, let me just stop you right there, Brad.
Companies not only are still working, but they've repaid all the federal loans that went out from the Obama administration in 2009 and 2010.
True.
I think, honestly, that's going to be a great help to him in winning key battleground states like Ohio and Michigan.
All right. True, and I will concede all of those points to you as being true and factual. But here's the thing. President Barack Obama extending the money to the auto manufacturers is nothing new. It was done in 1980 when Chrysler first went bankrupt. And we found out, yes, Chrysler did repay all of the money. They got back on the road to solvency, and they puttered along until this second bankruptcy. So if history is any indicator, the money that we spent on Chrysler in 1980 really didn't help us when we came to 2008. Perhaps it would have been better for Chrysler to die. I would say that history is not in favor of the money that we spent on the auto manufacturers because there's no solid track record that these auto manufacturers, once saved, really do go on to become better companies and maintain a steady employment base.
Well, who knows what's going to happen in the long run, but I can guarantee you one thing. The hundreds of thousands of blue-collar auto workers in the Midwest who still have jobs today will remember this when President Obama runs for re-election next year. And Ohio, and especially Ohio, is vital to winning a presidential election.
Well, without a doubt. There's no question about that. All right, let's move on to something else. And let's talk about QE2. And let's talk about the effects of the $700 billion that we've invested. And it's all of us, taxpayers. Whether you're Republican or Democrat, liberal or conservative, it really doesn't matter. We all ponied up the money. What did we get for our $700 billion? I mean, when I go to a restaurant and I pay money for the food, I know the meal I'm going to get. If I go to a store and I buy a product and I lay down the money, I know what I'm going to get for that product. What did we get for our $700 billion, Brad?
Well, we got, first of all, the $770 million that we invested, that we gave to Wall Street, was an initiative that was started by President Bush and also pushed through by his Secretary of Treasury, Hank Paulson.
Started by them.
Going out and is way out to Wall Street long before Barack Obama was inaugurated as president.
Again, agreed, and I'll concede the point that Barack Obama continued that policy from the Bush administration, but QE2 was clearly a Barack Obama initiative. Money in QE2 did not go directly to the banks. So what did we get for our $700 billion of QE2?
Well, first of all, I think that if we hadn't passed the stimulus package, the economy would be even worse shaped than it is now. I think the Obama administration, by pumping money in the economy, saved us from going into a deep depression. Secondly, I would argue, and many economists do too, that what we should have done, instead of pump $700 million into the economy, because $700 million is not a lot of money to change a $14 billion economy.
Correct.
And this is one issue I disagree with the president on. I think if we had invested a lot more money in the stimulus, a trillion dollars plus, the economy would be even better now. It would be in better shape than it is now. And honestly, I think the president made a mistake. It was not putting enough money into the stimulus.
All right. Well, we certainly can argue that. So you're saying that this hedged the inevitable collapse of the American economy.
Absolutely.
And that it was money well spent. Of course, then again, that's speculation. Time will certainly tell on that. But what concerns me right now, Brad, is these rumblings that I hear both in Washington and on Wall Street. They're saying the exact same thing. And this concerns me when Wall Street and Washington are saying the exact same thing. The rhetoric right now is that we've hit a soft patch in the economy and in the recovery. Now, you know, you might argue, what recovery? You ask a person on Main Street what the recovery is, you're going to get a different response than somebody on Wall Street. On Wall Street, yeah, the recovery went from the low point of the Dow at 6,500 back up to where it is right now, just north of 12,000 on the Dow. But that was perhaps because a lot of those companies got restructured, they cleaned up their balance sheets, and that made investment looking very good. That's not translating, however, to the street. So when Main Street. So when you talk about a soft patch in the economy, of course, that's worrisome because we're not seeing the sorts of progress that we have seen in months go by. And is the weak spot in the economy, is that a concern for President Obama in terms of his reelection campaign in 2012?
Well, absolutely, it's a concern. But what the Republicans want to do in Congress now is going to contribute. If the economy goes south, it is because of what the Republicans are doing in Congress now.
Which is what, Brad?
They're taking billions of dollars out of the hands of people by cutting federal programs like education, job training, clean energy. And if the Republicans are successful and they take all that money out of the economy, you will have a double-dip recession. But I think President Obama is going to be able to stop them from doing it. The other thing the Republicans are doing, which is very dangerous, and I think will prove their undoing next year, is that an overwhelming majority of Americans are horrified at their plan to gut Medicare. If you look at the national surveys, about 80% of Americans oppose the Republican House budget, which essentially eliminated Medicare for anybody who's now 55 and younger. And I think you saw the impact of that in a special congressional election in upstate New York last week. The Democratic candidate won a special election in a district that was solidly Republican and had been controlled by the Republican Party since the Civil War. And the big issue in that campaign was the Republican House budget that they passed that guts Medicare. And
all right,
honestly, that is going to be an albatross around the Republicans' neck at the presidential level and at the congressional level next year, because Americans hate it.
We're talking to Brad Bannon, of Bannon Communications Research. Brad, let's separate two issues here from one another. First is the general running of the economy, and the second is attacking the deficit. And I think that if you ask any American on the street, we need to address the deficit issue. How we address it, that's the cause for concern, and that's the point that you are making. Republicans have one approach for addressing the deficit, and the Democrats have another approach for addressing the deficit. However, when it comes to the deficit, there's no arguing that there are three things that you've got to look at. You've got to look at defense, you've got to look at Medicare, and you've got to look at Social Security. You cannot make any inroads in decreasing the deficit unless you address any one of those or all three of those particular issues. How we get from point A to point B, that's cause for discussion. But
and
the fact that we need to get
between the president and the Republican
in this particular
Americans see the need for reforming entitlements, but they don't want to destroy the Medicare system.
There
are other ways you can fix Medicare without killing it. The other thing is, if you look at any national poll and you give Americans the choice in priorities between creating new jobs and reducing the federal budget deficit, Americans choose creating jobs by about a 3-to-1 margin. Also, the Republicans talk a good game about reducing the deficit, but the biggest cause of the deficit, in fact, a group in Washington called the Center of Budget Priorities released a study a couple of weeks ago that showed the two biggest causes of the deficit were A, the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, and two, the Bush tax cuts for bankers and billionaires. And the Republicans, rather than cutting taxes for their friends on Wall Street and in the oil companies, they want to keep the status quo going. And President Obama is fighting both those things.
Well,
the other thing you mentioned is Pentagon spending.
Yes.
It has to be cut. In President Obama's budget that he released a month ago, he has reduced Pentagon spending over the next 10 years by $4 trillion. The Republican budget proposal that passed in the House did not have any cuts in the Pentagon.
Right. And Brad, we're running out of time, but just one point to make on the tax cuts that you referred to. If the tax cuts are so, in fact, devastating to the economy and to the national deficit, then is it not the height of hypocrisy for the Democrats to have extended the Bush tax cuts, even if it's for keeping peace in the family? We don't have time to go into that right now. We'll have to have you back on the show to debate not only the national deficit, but other things that are there. We've been talking to Brad Bannion, who's the CEO of Bannion Communications Research. Brad, if people are interested in what you have to say, they want to learn more about you, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Well, they can go to my website, which is www.bannoncr.com. So it's www.bannoncr.com.
Bannoncr.com. Brad, thank you so much. We'll be talking to you down the road.
Thanks, Billy, for having me on the show.
You betcha.